Hi, I'm Joanne from the Full Spectrum Centre Limited, an award-winning wellness and vocational training centre. And you're listening to the Full Spectrum Wellness Podcast. This show is all about physical, mental, emotional and spiritual wellness, and it's for people who are looking to improve their overall health and well-being. Each week, I'll share with you all the positive takeaways, tools, techniques and tips that I've gathered in both my personal and professional wellness journey that will help you to look, feel and be well. With a dose of motivation and meditation to keep you going, I'll be joined by a few friends who will be sharing their insights along the way too. Welcome to episode 11 of our Full Spectrum Wellness Podcast. I'm so happy and excited to be back here with you for our 11th episode. And this week's episode is very special to me because I get to chat to a wonderful friend and fellow female entrepreneur, Rhea Mira Munshi. Rhea has been on an incredible journey and it's been my honour to be part of that journey and watch her blossom and grow into her true potential. She is a multi-award winning, talented dancer, celebrity choreographer, model, actor, presenter, playwright, director, speaker and businesswoman who has successfully made her mark in the cultural industry, including a Bollywood Guinness World Record. Today she shares a little about this journey and the lessons she's learned to inspire you to live a healthier, happier and more balanced lifestyle. So welcome, Rhea Mira Munshi, my friend, my fellow entrepreneur and owner of the award-winning Riri's Dance Academy. Welcome to our Full Spectrum Wellness Podcast.
Thank you so much and thank you for having me. I am absolutely hyped for this. I am so excited.
Not as excited as me. I am so honoured that you said yes and found the time in your busy, busy diary to come and talk to us. So welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to throw you straight in. I'm going to ask you what wellness means to you.
So that's such a deep question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's such a deep question. So for me, wellness means doing a positive activity that makes me feel happy. And that could be anything, whether that's reading a book or going for a walk or even working. For me, wellness means being productive with my work and my life, my career, my fitness, my health. That's what wellness means to me. And you know, Jo, I am a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. That's why we gel so much, because so am
I. I know. Working. Honestly, I think if I'm not working, as mad as it sounds, I genuinely feel like my wellness isn't the same. It's not on the same level. I do feel a little bit more down. Mm-hmm. As odd as that sounds, I'm just not on the same vibe. But at the same time, in the same breath, when I've got so much work on, I'm like, okay, I need time out. I need time out. It's just finding that precious word, balance.
Balance. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm guessing that what you're passionate about in life is your work.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Tell us about your work.
Do you know what? I'm just so devoted to the arts and cultural sector and making a change for South Asian representation when it comes to the different multi-hyphenate career strands that I've got. So whether that's running Riri's Dance Academy, which is also a theatre company too, and producing theatre that is accessible for everybody, but it is Indian inspired, you know, taking it back to my roots, but including lots of new fascinating technologies. As you know, I know you've come to see some of our work before, but, you know, including 3D video mapping projection technology, or, you know, last year during Sue and Sita, we had puppetry and shadow theatre, or whether that's me acting or presenting, I'm so in love with my work. And I think for a normal person who isn't so passionate about their work, they may just think I'm absolutely bonkers.
So I'm really interested. When did you first become interested in the performing arts?
So it's been in my blood ever since I was born. My mum put me into Bharatanatyam Indian classical dance classes when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
But yeah, but as you know, my dad used to be a Bollywood film director. So I honestly believe it's just always been in my blood. I've just always had this absolute passion and dedication to wanting to be on stage and wanting to be on camera or present something. It's just been this urge of mine ever since I've been little. So yeah, a very young age, Joe, very young.
Did you ever go on set with him on the Bollywood movies?
I didn't actually, but I know when there was a Bollywood film filming here in the UK, I think it was Scotland, and I was so little. I must have been about 5 or 6. And my parents took me on set. Wow. And I actually remember seeing the actors. There was a girl and a guy, and the girl had sunglasses on, and she was kind of stood up in the car. It was like an open-top car. It was beautiful. And that was my first experience of being on set and seeing the lights, the camera, the action in action. And it was amazing. And even at that time, I was questioning things. But it was so fascinating for me. But I never actually thought that I would be living that life I wanted to. And I was, you know, performing from such a young age in terms of dance and, you know, going all around the UK and performing and having my parents watch, you know. Wow. But yeah, it's very much a dream come true. And I think that's why I work all the time, because I just love it so much. And I know you can relate, because I know how much you love your work too.
Absolutely. It's not, I always tell my clients, it's not a job.
Yeah.
I get paid to live my passion and do my hobby. It's like, so I wouldn't want to do anything else.
Honestly,
it's right, it's about finding that balance so that you're not pushing yourself past that limit where it becomes, yes, unhealthy. But like I say, it's not a job for me, and I know you feel exactly the same.
I do, because I think there's a very fine line between work and play when it comes to a career that you're so passionate about. So for me, I struggle to find that line. Mm-hmm. And I'm always just erasing that line, because I'm, this is so much fun, so I'm just going to carry on working and working, because this isn't work.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I reach that level of, okay, this is now becoming a little bit stressful and it is becoming like work. What can I do to reverse this? You know, yeah. But Sunday night, Joe, I was so excited for this week. I couldn't sleep. I was that excited for my work this week. I
mean, so you started off with the Bollywood dancing, and obviously you then formed Riri's Dance Academy, which I was so lucky to have been there from the beginning. We had so much fun being involved in that. I loved watching you grow and blossom. And you actually won a Guinness World Record. So tell us about that.
I did. But, you know, I've got to say, before we talk about the Bollywood Guinness World Record, I must say thank you to you, because Riri's Dance Academy has been open for almost 12 years.
Is it 12 years?
It is.
For 12 years now.
Me too.
You come now and you founded that academy.
But you know what, Joe? You were probably one of my biggest supporters, even at that time. I mean, you helped me with so much. And I remember 12 years ago, we spent a lot of time together. So you really inspired me and helped me with Riri's Dance Academy. But I remember the times we were spending together. I would watch you work, and I knew from then that you had your fingers in so many different pies. And actually, that's just how my life has turned out. And I always see you as my inspiration for that, you know, a multi-hyphenate female in business. Like, wow, in a sector that is not conventional. You know, they are difficult sectors and industries. Yeah. So I must say thank you to you, because you helped me so much to establish the academy and to support me. You encouraged me, you gave me confidence. And at that time, I don't know if you remember, I don't know how to say this, I wasn't confident in myself. that I could do it, you know? And as well as teaching myself certain aspects of business, of course, you helped me, as did my dad. And you are, you know, two of the main people who helped me with business at that time. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I remember seeing the potential and I just knew, it would work. I knew this was the right path for you. And I don't know whether you remember, we took a photograph of you when you were performing in a really tiny venue. And when we looked at the photos later on, there was an angel.
Yes,
I'm amazing.
I'm sure I'm wearing that black and gold outfit and there's angel wings behind me. We need to find that photo. We need to find it.
Find that photo. It was just, it was so awe-inspiring. And just your performance was, you know, I knew you were destined for big things, which brings me back to the Guinness World Record. Tell us how you came to do that and gain it.
So literally, I opened up the academy. I think it was... was it March or April 2011? And then I was approached to break the Bollywood Guinness World Record in Manchester at Platfields Park, you know, to co-present it live on stage, to choreograph the routine, to have my dancers on stage with me and teach, you know, a field full of non-dancers. So, yes, I broke it for the most people dancing to a Bollywood song simultaneously. So I was teaching 1,406 non-dancers.
All at the same time?
All at the same time. And we were really lucky because the event was sponsored by Rubicon. And they donated £5 to charity for every person who participated. So it was a lovely, you know, charity dance.
Wow.
Thing to be part of. And yeah, I think it got taken from me literally that year in India, which of course they've got, you know, unlimited space and people. So I'm gonna fight for it, Jo. I'm gonna get it back.
Let's do more. So what is the current record?
I've not even checked, to be honest. I should really look into it.
Let's find out and let's just aim to get Manchester together, Bolly. And then, of course, you were projected on the side of Debenhams.
I was.
Which was amazing.
Were you there? You were there, weren't you, for that? You're watching that live. Yeah. So that was through 3D video mapping projection technology, actually in 2014. And, you know, we loved that concept of technology so much, you know, Indian dance and 3D technology coming together is such a beautiful form of innovation that we brought this technology forward into our first theatre tour called Thunderstruck. It was great. It was so much fun.
That should be touring all over the world. It's just an amazing production.
Oh, it was fun and it was our first one. So for me personally, you know, it was a big learning experience and I think that's the same with me every day. I'm learning so much about so many different aspects of life, of people that I connect with, of myself. And that's a really beautiful thing that I'm slowly understanding and being mindful of. But it's difficult to be mindful all the time, isn't it? But I do try to take a minute to be grateful and remember all of these beautiful projects that I've been so lucky to be part of.
Absolutely, you've done so much. And so of course then the dancing progressed, you then moved into acting and you sort of, as you said, multi-level, multi-talented. So how did that transition happen from the dance to acting?
So my degree is in performing arts from Salford University. And so I've always done acting. I've always had an agent to assist me get those auditions and castings. But as you know, acting is such a competitive industry. And I've actually limited myself because I'm not passionate about acting in theatre. I like to now write for theatre, direct for theatre and produce theatre. But I'm not passionate about acting on stage. I'll dance and dance and dance. So television is more my thing when it comes to acting. And, you know, that is a career strand of mine where I just had to keep trying, and there's so much rejection.
Well, I was going to ask you, how do you deal with that rejection?
you just, I mean, I think it used to affect me quite a lot when I was younger. And I think with maturity and with more days passing and learning more about yourself and going through certain experiences, you naturally just become a little bit tougher. And, you know, there are, of course, certain film and TV auditions that come through, you're like, oh my God, I want this. I really, really want this. And you are a little bit just disheartened if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I try to not let it get to my heart too much. I think back in the day, it would really affect me and it would knock my confidence. Mm-hmm. But now I try to be my biggest cheerleader. And that is also one of the most challenging things to do on a day-to-day basis when you're not feeling well or you've got that ever-growing list of things to do. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself, you're superwoman, you can do it. And then I realize after working 18 hours, I'm not a robot. But the acting is something which I massively enjoy. And I just kind of go with the flow with it, you know? Yeah. If an audition happens, if I get one through, great. I'll do my best. I'll go above and beyond to do what I can to get that role. But if it doesn't, then I'm like, it's okay because God and the universe has a bigger plan for me. I just don't know what it is yet.
Absolutely. I have quite a few clients that are in the acting, in the performing arts industry, and all of the actors tell me that when they are open-minded like that and they are spiritual in their beliefs and they believe in the law of attraction, they talk about the fact that if they don't get a particular part, it's because had they got that part, another one came along and they wouldn't have been able to do it because they would have been contracted to that job. So they very much see it as a one door closing, but that's because another one is going to open. And that's exactly what you've just described.
Absolutely. And, you know, not just in terms of acting or opportunities, but in terms of basic things, day-to-day things like travel. For example, yesterday I was in Trafford filming for a presenting job. And my dad said to me, oh, how was the motorway? I'm not good with roads, so I'm not going to even try and remember what M60 or M67, I've no idea. But my dad was like, how was the motorway? I was like, no, actually, the sat-nav took me through the Bank Union Way, not the motorway. And I was like, I was really happy with that. And then he said something to me along the lines of, either the motorway was closed or someone had an accident. There were lots of delays. Yep. And at that point, I was like, that is so weird because my sat-nav brought me back on the motorway. However, taking me there, it wasn't. And that has happened to me, Jo, so much, so much. And I'm just like, I try to take the door closing, another door opening, phrase into all areas of my life, not just career, because I think when you start to notice it and recognize it and acknowledge it, you start to see it more and more and you actually start to trust both the universe and yourself with your decisions.
Yeah, well, they're synchronicities, aren't they? And if you notice and acknowledge that synchronicity, you start to have more of them. And that's basically how the law of attraction works. So,
Jo, you know, I'm getting synchronicities by the second at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I literally, before this conversation, I literally said to my mum, you know, the universe and God has planned my life so, like, to the minute, to the second, in so much sync that even I'm becoming shocked with certain things and correlations, connections and synchronicities between all different aspects of my career strands, but also within my life. I'm like, huh? Really? Okay, you did that well. Thank you, angels.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what you said earlier about being grateful and having that attitude of gratitude. The more you are grateful for what you have, the more you will attract.
Yeah. And to remember, it's hard to be grateful when things are going well, but also when things aren't going as well as you'd like, because you're in that situation where you are a little bit down. Of course, naturally, that's going to happen to anybody. But when things are going well, it's so easy to just get so engrossed with being in the flow of happiness and, you know, our perceptions, whatever anyone's perception is of success, that we often forget to be grateful. And I'm trying to bring that forward so much, you know, so it's at the forefront of my mind. And,
yeah,
you know, just say thank you as much as I can, whether it's out loud or in my mind, or, you know, looking up at the stars and just remembering that we are all so small in this world, you know, and actually everything that we go through, regardless of how big it feels to us, is so actually insignificant.
Yeah.
But at the time, we think it's, of course, we think it's such a big thing. I know how some of my experiences made me feel like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. But hindsight is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is. And we have to remind ourselves that everything is temporary. So when we're going through those dips and the downtimes, they don't last forever. And I think when you, like you say, when we're having the successes, it, and we're in that flow, sometimes it's hard to not take that for granted.
Yeah.
Again, it's about balance, isn't it? And just finding that balance. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can never say thank you enough, can you, Jo? You can never be too grateful.
What's been your favorite TV role?
Oh my gosh. Oh, you know. You know, Dr. Chatterjee on Coronation Street.
I was going to say, it's the role that me and your mum for years have been like, she's got to get it. She's got to get it. She's got to get it.
I know. And now it's happening and it's happened. And it's just so surreal and beautifully surreal because, you know, it's been a dream, not just of mine, but of so many people around me, like yours and my mum's and, you know, my nannies, my dad's, my granddad, who's no longer here. So it's really beautiful that I'm able to fulfill a lot of people's dreams, I think. You know, those who've got lots of love and good intentions for me, they know how much this meant to me. So definitely my favourite role.
Definitely. So for those listeners that don't know who Dr. Chatterjee is, just tell them what show that's on.
So Dr. Chatterjee is on Coronation Street.
Yay!
I can see Joe smiling there.
I watched that episode. I was so proud of you. It's just, oh. I know that's been your dream. And like I said, it's been all your family. And I feel like part of your family. And it's something that we've wanted for you for so long. And to see you on that screen was just amazing. So well done you. And let's hope we see her again very soon.
Oh, hopefully. But do you know, Jo, when it comes to dreams, dreams change, don't they? As we go on through life, we achieve something and then another dream accidentally pops up and then we fulfill one that we didn't even know we had on the list. So
what's your next dream then? You've achieved that dream of getting a pass on Corrie. So what's the next dream? What's
the next dream? Would okay, I've got a few. How long do we have? So the next dream would be firstly to be a presenter for a mainstream TV channel. Secondly, to be a children's TV presenter. And thirdly, Netflix or Disney Plus. You know, I'm open to any online streaming.
Doing what?
Well, just, you know, doing my acting in one of these online streaming platforms. Wow. So not going to limit myself to just say Netflix because there are so many now, aren't there?
Yeah.
So, and that's lovely because it opens up the door for beautiful opportunities, but Disney Plus or Netflix,
Amazon Prime.
Let's
put it out there. So let's do a group manifestation. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, just imagine the names coming up on the credits and Ria Mira Munchie is there. She's on it. Let's get you there. We've done the Corrie one. Let's do streaming channels.
Yes.
Fabulous. So that's all about your professional journey and your work. I want you to tell us a little bit about your wellness journey and some of the challenges that you've faced. And I know from a health point of view, you've faced a lot of challenges. So would you like to share some of those with us?
Yeah. So, you know about my physical health and, you know, my skin conditions and how that kind of it did set me back. Mm. It set me back and it knocked my confidence quite a lot. And I think that's why I do understand that it is an obstacle. It is challenging to be grateful and happy when you are in a place of physical or mental pain.
Yeah.
Because it's, you're in this vicious cycle, and it takes a lot to break that, you know, and to see the light that you will get better. And it does take a lot. And I absolutely can see both sides. I think wellness is very much a topic that, you know, it's a hot topic, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
And the word balance is one which I see so many times a day on so many different platforms. And I was saying to you before we had this conversation, before we went live, that I think there's a lot of pressure on people now mm-hmm. to do the things that Instagram posts is telling us to do. You will be successful if you wake up at 5 a.m. and if you drink X amount of water and if you read 10 books a week. And I tried to do that. I tried to follow that, you know, so-called formula.
Yeah.
And for me, it made me more stressed out, you know, on a different kind of, a different pool. And it was one of more pressure and stress. So I had to quickly swim out of that and realize that a set formula doesn't necessarily work for everyone. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It took me a long time to accept that that's okay, because I thought, hold on, if it's worked for all of these successful people, you know, the top 10 successful billionaires in the world, obviously it's going to work for me. However, I had to take a step back and say, my circumstances are so different to theirs, you know. Maybe I didn't sleep well that night, or I was on set for 12 hours the night before, or I was rehearsing for a theatre production for 18 hours. You know, everyone's circumstances and lifestyles are different. So to try and conform into what an Instagram post or a, you know, a YouTube video tells us, and I did try this for so long, it really set me back. And if I couldn't wake up early one day or didn't do my meditation, you know, I am an absolute perfectionist. I was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. I ruined my flow. What am I going to do? And I'd disaligned myself. I felt like I was almost moving my own chakras around because I was almost self-inflicting this pressure. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't healthy for me, Jo. It really wasn't.
No. And wellness is, this is why I ask everybody what wellness means to them, because it's a very personal journey. And what one size doesn't fit all, so what works for one person doesn't work for another. So it's finding the things that do work for you and then sticking with them rather than, like you say, putting yourself under pressure to meet those criteria, to follow that advice when that's not right for you. So
And being okay with that, accepting it and learning that just because somebody that you know wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, does their affirmations, does their meditation, their yoga, their exercise, and has already drank 2 liters of water and cooked for the day before 6 o'clock, that doesn't mean that you have to, and it doesn't mean that you're behind, and it does not mean that you're not going to be successful either.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, whatever success means to you.
Absolutely. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced that you think have held you back, that you've had to overcome?
So I most definitely my health. I had to do a lot of self-healing and dipping into different strands of wellness and do what worked for me. Like I just said, another challenge was the pressure of what social media and all these experts tell us to do. Those would be my two main ones, really. Okay. And also, actually, no, there's one more. Sticking to a routine.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why has that been a challenge?
Like I said, because sometimes if I've not slept well, or a deadline's come up for a new self-tape, or something else has happened, I have to prioritize. I never prioritize sleep, let's be honest. But I have to prioritize work, or maybe go and see my nanny, or, you know. So it's hard for me to stick to that routine of, you know, waking up at a certain time and doing X, Y, and Z. Sometimes I have to leave X, Y, and Z and be okay if I can only do those three letters the week after, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So do you try and have a daily self-care routine and then kind of adapt it depending on what's coming in work-wise?
Yes. So it changes daily. Mm-hmm. It kind of has to. And it's been a big thing for me to deal with because a lot of people say you must have a routine, you must have this and you must have that. But I've chosen a career that is so flexible, you know, and you have to be flexible, but disciplined at the same time, you know, mm-hmm. and those go hand in hand. And there's a lot of accepting you've got to do. So not having a routine actually helps me more than having one.
Yeah.
When I'm in a routine, for example, you know, if I'm doing TV work or traveling to Hollyoaks for work, we get into that flow of a routine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than happy to, you know, break that flow once it's stopped and I'm moving on to the next project. I have to be quite adaptable now. I do. And it's taken me time to learn because it's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just feeling so free and I'm like, yeah, you know, let's just see what happens and not to put pressure on myself.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to that balance, doesn't it? So because you have to be so flexible and adapt to different situations, how do you find that balance between work and home life?
So if I've worked for, let's say, 12 hours,
mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to continue working if I have to and I want to. And I sometimes do reach a point where I'm like, oh, do you know what? Yep, I do need a couple of hours off. And I'll just allow myself that time. Or I'll just say, okay, I need to book a massage like right now. And trying to take time out that's not necessarily related to a health appointment, mm-hmm. like going to the doctors. You know, if you've got an appointment booked, you have to go. However, I must admit, if I've arranged to meet friends or, you know, I do sometimes have a tendency to say no. Or cancel, because if work is my priority or I'm too tired, I've learned to kind of not be the girl who has to put something on her social media stories to say she's out just because it's Friday night. But to be like, actually, do you know what? I'm reading a book on Friday night and that is okay, you know, and it doesn't make me uncool to do that. You might consider me geeky and I don't care because I am a geek. I am, and I love it, right? But back in the day, even a few years ago, I would have put a lot of pressure on myself to be out just for the sake of being out. But now I'm so precious with my time and my energy and who I give it to. And that's both in relation to work and projects, what I choose to take on, and also who I choose to see in my own time. And it is a handful of people now, Jo. It really is.
Yeah, and if we go back to what you said about trying to follow the advice that you see on these Instagram posts, a lot of the advice we give you about self-care is spending time with friends and having that. We're social creatures, so having engagement with other humans is important to our health, but it's doing it at the right time for the right reasons and not feeling under pressure to say yes and agreeing to go and meet them if that's really not what is in your best interest at that moment in time.
Yeah, it is. And I think I've learned so much about myself. I've become more of a home girl mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis. I'm almost like a little hermit sometimes. And I'm okay with that because I know when I do go out, it is for an award ceremony or it's someone that I really want to see.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to just maintain those relationships and friendships, which aren't really the same back, because I do try and keep in touch with people. You know, I do. Yeah. But it's less and less now. It is because of work, because of lifestyle, but also because it has to be the same back. And I've learned to value myself and my time a lot more. Yeah. And as a result of that, other people are kind of valuing my time more. And we have to respect ourselves and our time because we don't have that much energy every day, do we? We only have X amount, so we have to spend it so wisely.
And also life is very short in relative terms, so we don't want to waste a moment doing something that's not good for us or we don't really want to do just to make other people happy as people pleasing, isn't it? We have to respect, as you say, we have to respect others, but we have to respect ourselves ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I want to ask you, of all of these challenges that you've faced in your life, what do you think are the most important lessons that you've learned?
To trust myself. To trust myself and to trust the universe, mm-hmm. to trust God and the angels. But the biggest one has to be trusting my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
It has never let me down. And, you know, if I don't trust it, go against it, the consequences aren't great, you know, mm-hmm. and I've seen that on so many different situations. I've had so many experiences of that. So now just that faith in everything, including myself and my abilities and God and the universe. But the biggest thing, my heart.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Exactly. And your heart will never lie to you. Never.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that lesson.
I'm taking a long time to learn it.
Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it?
It really is. And sometimes it doesn't mean that, like, I don't always, I do go against my gut feeling sometimes, even now, and then I'm taught a lesson which really brings me back to myself, mm-hmm. and my inner self and my inner child, and she's like, hello, I told you that was a no. And I'm like, okay, calm down. I know. I won't do it again.
Yeah, we say that and then we do ignore it again. And finally, before we wrap up, what advice would you give to someone who wants to live a healthier, happier and more balanced life?
Just do what is right for your soul and your heart. And that can change mm-hmm. by the minute. That can change by the day. And that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to do what's right for you. And of course, I mean that in a do positive things that are good for you, yeah. you know, undergo those activities and, you know, really look after yourself from the inside out, because we only have one body, but at the same time, we only have one mind and we've only got one heart. And I say to my mum, especially, your heart's precious. My heart's precious and all of our hearts are precious. And we really need to remember that. Yeah.
And dream big.
Dream so big, because no dream can be too big, can it?
No. No. Can't you be. Just got to reach for your dreams.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you've done. And aww. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so honoured that you've shared your journey with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to come back for part two when more dreams are fulfilled, Jo.
We've got hopefully. So much more to talk about, especially I just know there are great things going to continue to come to you. So we will all be watching.
Thank you. And good things for you and the world and everybody listening. And, absolutely. You know, we want good things for everybody, don't we?
We do. We're just sharing the love with everybody.
We are. Oh.
Thank you once again, Ria, for joining us and just for sharing your story and inspiring. You inspire me every day. So thank you so much.
As you do, you know, for me. So thank you to you too.
You're very welcome.
Oh, thanks, Jo.
I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'm so grateful to Ria for taking time out of her busy schedule to join me and share some of her incredible journey with us. She has overcome many challenges in her life, but her passion, motivation, and determination has meant she's been able to overcome them and achieve her dreams. I love the life lessons she shared about trusting your intuition and heart, having an attitude of gratitude, and dreaming big. And my hope is she has inspired you to do the same. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I hope you found the discussion and the tips covered really helpful. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, please do leave a rating and a review and share it with your friends and family. Pop along to our website at thefullspectrumcentrelimited.com and join our self-care and wellness newsletter club. You'll receive our free 55-page printable self-care guide and workbook. Well, that's all for this episode, but I really look forward to seeing you next week. Take care and bye for now.
Thank you.